Baruch, I want to thank particularly the members of the family for granting me this opportunity to express not only words of remembrance, but also Bakaras HaTov to the family, and particularly to Rabbi Binyamin Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. My family was introduced to Rav Kamenetsky almost exactly 45 years ago. In the summer of 72, when my parents moved to this area, to Far Rockaway, and through a kindred spirit of Rav Kamenetsky, Rav Nachman Bulman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, a shidduch was made. Rav Kamenetsky was looking not for another Rebbe, but he was looking for a balabas, which is sometimes harder to find. And my father, Alva Shalom, had been in retail for many years, and I remember Rabbi Kamenetsky said he's also in retail, selling a good product. And from that immediate moment, a relationship was born, not only with Rav Kamenetsky and the Rebbetzin, but also the entire family, which has only been enhanced over the years. And for 20 years, they were a team working together. My father used to say he was the only non-family member who was included in the corporation. But they were true, dear chaverim. They did nefesh to each other. And they were, in a sense, cut from the same cloth. Somehow, finding each other, I think, certainly helped both of them. One of the things that I think brought them together is that my family had come from a distant place down south in Virginia, and I think Rav Kamenetsky appreciated that pioneering spirit. Reminds me of the Mishnah, which is very famous, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma in Pirkei Avos, when he's asked by someone who approaches him, Me'ezem makom ato, where are you from? What place are you from? And he says, Me'ir gedola shel chachamim, v'shel sofrim ani. I come from a Torah community. And then the man responds and he says, so let me make you an offer. You should come live with us, bimkomenu. Vani etein lecha, and I'm going to give you wealth, abundance. And Yosef ben Kisma answered, Eini dor ela b'makom Torah. I only want to dwell in a place of Torah. So the obvious question is, Rabbanim Gedolim, over the generations, have gone out and gone to places where there may not have been Torah. So I heard a pshat that says that basically he wasn't saying I wouldn't go to such a place. I can only go to a place, though, that is a makom Torah, meaning that it's the center, it's the focus of the community. It has to be a makom of Torah. And indeed, as we all can attest, Rav Kamenetsky came to this community and was so instrumental in establishing here a makom of Torah. The Torah has become a center, a focal point, which it wasn't 50 years ago. And we all have benefited from it, all of our community. And we owe a tremendous sense of gratitude for it. What was particularly, I think, remarkable was what Rav Kamenetsky was able to do despite the environment. Rashi this past week notices the pasuk which refers to the Nesiim, and it repeatedly refers to the Nesiim in multiple ways. Yakrivu Nesia Yisrael, Roshe Beis Avosam, Im Nesia Yamatos, Im Omdim Al Hapakudim. There are all of these multiple descriptions of what the Nesiim were, what the leaders were. It's almost like overdone. It reminds you of a dinner. Repeated praise for the Nesiim. Why? So Rashi says, remarkably, they deserve it because they were the same people who looked after Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim and took the blows for them, suffered the whip for Klal Yisrael. What Rav Kamenetsky did was not just create a Makom Torah, but he bore the brunt of all those criticisms, all those cuts, all those daggers of those who said cynically, why are you here? What do we need it for? But the secret of his success to me, and I believe my family would share this, is that Rabbi Kamenetsky had something that worked. I heard in the name of Reb Tzadok HaKohen that we have two traditions about the number of facets of the Torah, of Panim LaTorah. One is 49 and the other is 70. Why? Why is 149? What's the source of that? What's the source of 70? So Reb Tzadok says, depends on the nature of the Torah you're studying. The Torah of 49, he says, is from the Eitz Hadas, Tov V'ra. It's from the tree of knowledge. But the 70 is from the Eitz HaChayim. It's from the tree of life. That's more expansive. That's more all-inclusive. Rav Kamenetsky had both Torahs. He had the Torah of Das. Maybe you could say Torah V'Das. And he also had the Torah Schayim, the Torah of life, the real world. He could talk to anybody, and anybody could talk to him. Jew, non-Jew. Observant, non-observant, rich, poor, maybe a little preference for the rich. But he was a Torah person of life and could connect with anyone. And that's why he wasn't only respected, he was loved. I and my family and our community should and will be grateful always for all of the Torah that he did and created in this makom, and should be revered as one of the great Nesiei Yisrael. Tehei nishmasu tzuro b'tzuro ha'chayim.
Shus Mahonam Ramonam Ramoy Sai, Shus Torakol, Akodesh Azeh, Rabbonim Chashuvim, Uvishus Rabbi Yonah Kamenetsky. Chazal tell us when you talk about a person, when you eulogize him, he is here. Which places a big responsibility for though everybody that speaks. Hosam Kamin, he's here. Be'emes, the Torah tells us Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, and after a month, Vayitmu Yamei Bechi Evel Moshe. The word Yitmu simply means concluded. And the 30 days of mourning for the one that the Torah says about him, Lo Kom Moshe, there's no one like him. And the Torah gave a limit to how much you can talk about him and eulogize him. But the word Vayitmu means they were completed. Everything that had to be done and was said. Still in all, Sefer Tehillim concludes with the words, Kol HaNishoma Tehalotcha. Kol HaNishoma Tehalotcha. Dovid HaMelech says to Rabbanu Shalom, I really have so much more to say, but I don't have the words. Words limit us. You can only say that. So there are hageshim that are expressed with clay shira. Suddenly in the last kapitel of Tehillim, alu betzilzele shoma, alu betzilzu, suddenly David HaMelech feels he needs the help of musical instruments. What happened? If he needed them, why didn't he use them in the beginning? So David HaMelech tells Rabbanu Shalom, I want to tell you something. I have, whatever I had to say with words, I did. But I have so much more to say, but I do not have the words to express them. So I will utilize musical instruments, and there are certain feelings that you can express through negina and not through words. I have no words. I cannot. You know, everybody is a clerk and whatever. Chodesh Elul, Tov Shin Chav Beis. Everybody can figure out himself how long it was. That's when Rabbi Yomim came to see me in Yeshiva Shepard Das. Rabbi Yankiv told him, and I joined what was known that time, Four Oak Street in Woodmill, the Yeshiva of Samcho. I don't know how many people remember it, but that's where it started. A boy's school and a girl's school, and the rest, you know, they say the rest is history, but it's history that was never written. History that was never written and cannot be written. Because it says, Kosvem aluach libecho. You want to write it? Write it on your heart. This is when you become a part of someone. I really am not here to say I spayed him. I just came to express HaKoros HaToiv to someone that was my Rebbe. In many, many aspects in my life, served a light. He held a torch that everyone that was around him was able to be neher from his. So we don't have the time to go through it all, but only a few points. And I'll say something which I heard from him. David HaMelech says, Eso einai ele horim meyayin yovo yezri. I lift my eyes to the mountains, where shall my help come? And the Gemara tells us, Al titre horim, it doesn't refer to real mountains, but it refers to horim, to parents. What is the common denominator between horim, mountains, and hoirim, parents? In my essence, I am a teacher. And normally when I ask a question, I wait for people to answer, but we don't have the time for it. You know what the common denominator is? Anybody that ever traveled the world and stood next to a huge mountain, Everest, when you stand next to it, you don't see it. You don't see the tip. Then you start to walk backwards, and backwards, and backwards, and the further you walk back, the more you realize how great the mountain was. You know when we will realize who Rabbi Yonatan was? It'll take years. It's too close. We are too close to the mountain. Now, to evaluate Rabbi Yonatan, it's too fresh. You still see him here. You still remember the nights he spent in his house when he was a little bit devastated. But you know why he kept on? I'll tell you a secret. I don't know if he shared it with the family. First and foremost, I mentioned Reb Tzadok HaKohen. Reb Tzadok HaKohen says, "Kesheim shetzorich ha'odom le'amin ba'kodosh baruch hu, kach tzorich le'amin ba'atzmai." Just like you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to believe in yourself. I remember one time, I don't want to repeat the discussion, that someone told them outright, I don't want even to mention names now, I don't know if the other person is still alive or is not alive, it doesn't make a difference. They told him the following words, "Rabbi Kamenetsky, you stand for that? I don't stand for that. You stand for that? I don't stand for that." And what that, and things that were so dear to Rabbi Yonatan, it was so, he gave his life for that. And then he came home. I remember I spoke to him. Rabbi Kamenetsky's life at certain time, I don't want to quote from Goyim, was sweat, tears, and tears. That's what it was. Sweat, toil, and tears. And you know why he was victorious? Because he told me, they don't mean me personally. They're fighting the Ribono Shel Olam. Who am I? Binyamin Kamenetsky. I stand for the Ribono Shel Olam. So they're fighting the Ribono Shel Olam. I feel bad for them. But Klal Yisrael was always victorious. And so was Rabbi Yonatan. And the further, it'll take many years till we're able to assess correctly, if ever we will, that mountain, Ki Meroish Tzurim Ereinu. The Chazal tell us that we, the Jewish people, we have a heritage that comes from big mountains. A lot of people, I just got today a sefer, a small sefer, that was written by someone that owes his life to this yeshiva, Rav Moshe Wiener. Rav Moshe Wiener is an executive today in the council. East New York, whatever, and he writes like that. He writes, "I dedicate this sefer today. I got in the mail to Moiri Verabi, Rabbi Yonatan Kamenetsky." Do you know? I come to Los Angeles. Sometimes people invite me to speak, and there are a whole bunch of talmidim from South Shore, Yankel Bayer. They come to the airport. "Rebbe, where did it come from? Where did it come from?" Yeshiva of South Shore. So, Rabbi Yonatan put in their blood system the concept of Mesiras Nefesh. You know what Mesiras Nefesh means? You know, today people think Mesiras Nefesh means you give away your life. No. Mesiras Nefesh means it's hard for me to say it. A lot of people told Rabbi Yonatan, "What's going to be with your kids? will soon be with your kids, with your children. How will they grow? Rabbi said, the answer is here tonight. You saw how they grow? I feel it an obligation, I'm not going to be a ma'arich, to mention someone that has to be mentioned, is the Rebbe. If Rabbi Kamenetsky was able to achieve what he achieved, is b'schus eishes chayim meyimtzo. That went along with him. She gave him chisud. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it. He was such a good guy. He didn't care about anything. People heard him. But there was someone there that stood by his God. I don't know what I should tell it. But she's b'shamayim now, the Rebbetzin, and I want people to know it. There was once a dinner. And it was a whole tumult by the dinner. Your mixed dancing, not mixed dancing. And then there was a certain individual, very well-to-do man, who warned the Rebbetzin. He was a big power in the yeshiva at that time. If there will be mixed dancing, I'm taking all the checks that came to the dinner and you'll never see them. He kept his words. He did. I don't want to mention his name. I'm sure he's very sorry for what he did. But I also don't like to say the one who laughs last laughs best, because neither Rabbi Yoman nor his wife were laughing at the failures of others. They didn't say, see, told you so. No. These are the mountains that we have to look up to. The Siyata Dishmaya that the Eivishter gives someone who is ready to sacrifice himself for Kovod Shomayim. Doesn't work with Derech HaTeva, and it doesn't work with Seichel. It doesn't work with Seichel. It works with Siyata Dishmaya. Siyata Dishmaya has no limits. So, what are we supposed to do now? The Gemara tells us, "Gzeira al hamer seishtakach min halev." Whether you want it or not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed in the nature of people that people who left the world are forgotten. Gzeira al hamer seishtakach min halev. However, we can determine whether Rabbi Yoman and his Rebbetzin will enter the world of forgetfulness or the world of eternity. We. Why is that? Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, they asked him, why are you crying? He said, I don't know. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the one who saved Torah after the Churban. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he saved Torah after the Churban, and he was afraid. So you know why he was afraid? Because he said, "Eini yodeya be'eze derech moilichi moisi." I don't know which way they will lead me. Who are those that will lead me? My talmidim, those who are left after. Will they follow my path? Remember, I don't want to go into it. Rabbi Yankov's hesped on Rabban, but we have a responsibility, and we owe a debt to Rabbi Yoman. We have to see to it that all his effort, sweat, blood, and toil should not be lost. We can do it. How? Each and every one of us has a way to do it. We learned so much from him. We learned so much from the Rebbetzin, and the closer you were, as time will go by, I think, as I said before, as Elahor Meyam Yovi Ezri, we'll look back and we'll see how much we could have learned more. So, Spiegel said that Rabbi Yoman Mesukah Shnasa Oivet, Na, Rabbi Yom schläft nicht jetzt. He doesn't sleep. He is working hard. Because it's not in his genes to rest. Now, he's going before the Kisei HaKovod. And he has a lot of schusim to bring along with him. To be mispalel for Klal Yisrael. And each and every one of us knows how much schusim Klal Yisrael needs. Begashmiyas and Beruchniyas, there's choylim. I don't want to start. Because I myself am involved. I remember once someone told me, you know, I got involved in Bogni Oilam. And in A time, you go to the dinner, you know how many hundreds and hundreds of couples need children? So I told once the Novominsk Rebbe, he was here by the Levaya, ah, never, what's going to be with all those that have no children? So he says, okay, you're right, it's a time. But Baruch Hashem, today you see that the poor helps. But those that have no shidduch, what's going to be with them? Do you know how many boys and girls today need shidduch? And all those children, I don't want to say, I don't like the terminology of the derech. Oy! Painful. And Rabbi Yomen worried for them. He worried about them. Because everybody was his child. So the Eibush to help him. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give the Mishpacha first the strength to continue. To continue the work that he started. And we, without feelers, everybody in Yizrach Neshomayim, Aliyas Neshome, we say Kaddish. I'll conclude with a story which I once heard. Rabbi Yankel Zichron Levrocha held Rabbi Reuven Trozovsky, the Rosh Yeshiva from Kamenetz, that he owed him a lot. I remember the hesped that Rabbi Yankel made after Rabbi Reuven. And Rabban was sitting there. He says, Rabban is too schwach. And Rabban has no koyach to speak. So I'll speak. He said that those days there were a lot of winds to try to schlep away Yeshiva Bochum from the Yeshiva. And Rabbi Reuven saved Rabban and Rabbi Yankel. When Rabbi Reuven's father passed away, they came to Rabbi Ochber, who was his father-in-law, to ask him whether they should tell Rabbi Reuven, because what's the shaila? If he's a yeshiva, the yeshiva might close him, so he went to the yeshiva. So Rabbi Reuven said, don't tell him. Don't tell him. Rabbi Borber, who is Shverzer. So they asked him, who's going to say Kaddish? So the Rabbi Borber said about Rabbi Reuven, as is the mention, was on Kaddish. There are people that say Kaddish. Und sie da Menschen, wo sorgen Kaddish. Rabbi Reuven, tut Kaddish. His life is a life of his talent, with Kaddish mei Rabo. Said Kaddish. I don't know. Rabbi Yomen lived a life of his talent, with Kaddish mei Rabo. He lived Kaddish. And it's our responsibility to try to emulate him. And if we take along each one a little bit, this will be Le'ilu Nishmasa, and his Neshama will go up higher and higher B'malos Kedoshim B'tohayim. Thank you.
talk?
He'd rather sit and talk?
No,
he could stay.
No, I'd rather stay.
Once he has the omelet here, he's...
I'd rather stay.
You must come too.
I listened very carefully to the Divrei Hesped that was spoken so eloquently by those who came this evening. When I was asked by the family, and when I was asked by the Rabbonim here in the shul, if I would be able to say a few words of Hesped, L'zecher Nishmas, a nifter who was so choshev, Rav Binyamin, who contributed so much to the community, of which I have had the privilege and the pleasure of being part of for over 65 years. My first inclination was to beg off. And it is the easiest thing in the world to say I cannot come because first I have no keach. But the truth of the matter is, every morning we say the bracha, and the Rabbeinu Sholem never disappoints us. He knows that when we need koach for certain kind of activities, and when we are asked to express our thoughts and share them with others, that the koach comes. And that indeed the ability to find that reservoir of strength and that reservoir of hidden kochos is in itself a source of inspiration to us. How many years did I know the Nifter? How many years were we neighbors? How many years were we together working in the same basic vineyard? And the answer is almost a lifetime. But especially if you go back to the previous door and you go back to the father of the Nifter, who was from Slabodka and who was a Yedid Nefesh of my father, Sal, the connection spans actually generations. And when you span generations of Yedidus, and the Yedidus coming from the words Yad and Yad, working hand in hand, then it is a responsibility that I would never, ever shirk. I happen to be marking tonight the yahrzeit of my father. It just fell out that way. Tonight I am also in a position and condition basically of reliving avelos. And this is a yahrzeit that I am the only survivor of my mishpacha who is still here to be able to mark the yahrzeit of my father. My father used to be known in the yeshiva as Ephraim Lomja. You notice I said Lomja even though it's hard to pronounce the Lamed, because if you're from Lomja, you can't pronounce an L. Ephraim Lomja Zatzal, my father, who studied in many yeshivas. For a while he was in Raden, and for a while he was in some other yeshivas. But the Iker Yenika, where he took the source of his Hashkofes HaChaim, was in Slabodka. And our Nifter that we are Masped this evening, Rav Kamenetsky, his roots were also in Slabodka. And it was a yedidus, it was a friendship that never ceased. A friendship that was constantly there. Let me tell you a story. And unlike other speakers who will tell you a story and when they are asked, did that really happen? And the answer is given, not necessarily, but it will. And this is a true story. That was part of the experience of myself with the mishpacha, with the Kamenetsky mishpacha. And I told it to Mordechai at the time when we came to be Menachem Mordechai. And that is that when my mother, Ola HaSholem, passed away, my father was the Rav at that time in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And apparently, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zal was not aware that I had lost my mother. He was not aware that his chaver of Ephraim had lost his wife. And when he found out inadvertently during the shloshim, so he said to me, "Tell me, where is your father now?" So we told him he is in his community. He's in Bridgeport, Connecticut, because that's where he was for many, many decades. And so he says, "Wie fährt man dorten? How do you go from New York to Bridgeport? It sounds like going from here to Mars. How do you get to Bridgeport?" So I told him, very simple. It's not that difficult. You go to Grand Central Station and you find the New York, New Haven, Hartford line and you buy a ticket and you go. A few days later, my father told me at that time that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who was not a youngster at that time, had come to see him. It was still during Shloshim, but it was well past Shiva. It was not a visit of a Nichum Avelim, of a Shiva Nichum Avelim. It was the visit of a friend to a friend. And when I called Rabbi Yaakov a few days later to express my gratitude, because my father needed that visit very badly. So Rabbi Yaakov said to me, in some ways, he says, you did me a great favor. Because a mensch darf sich auslüftern. Now in Yiddish, that has a ring. A person has to air himself out. You have to air yourself out. You cannot be confined at all times to the Dalet Amos, just the Talmud Torah, and the Dalet Amos of just being in a yeshiva or in a shul. Medaf Sach Oisluftar. You have to air yourself out. And even though I'm speaking to you at an askara for the son, but it's also for a generation. It's a generation that understood that you had to bring a breath of fresh air to yourself, and you also had to bring fresh air to others. The greatness of the Niftar, the greatness of Rabbi Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, is in the fact that he understood that you don't confine the fresh air of a Torah Chaim, of a living Torah. You don't confine it to one geographical location. And you don't put it into a box that has its own dimensions and that sort of at times tends to imprison us. It's interesting that we're giving this hesped in a shul such as this shul. Because the greatness of this shul where we stand this moment is the fact that there are doors and windows. There are no walls to confine. It is a shul that understands and is open to the needs of a total community. And that always impressed me, because that was always the purpose of a Rav, of a Rosh Yeshiva, of any teacher and leader in the Jewish community in the 20th or the 21st century. And I find it interesting and a schus to be able to say to you that our Niftar, that Binyamin Kamenetsky, when he came to this community, it was about the same time that I came to the community. We came to a community that was not necessarily, as people like to think of it, as a midbar, as a wilderness. There are no wildernesses. From the time that the Torah was given at Sinai, we transcended the wilderness. From the time that we stood at Sinai and accepted the Torah and said Nasa v'nishma, there was a transformation, and that transformation continues to this very moment. And when we are gathered here together this evening to be maspid, a leader and a teacher and a dynamic kind of a person who knows what it means to inspire people, to encourage people, and to say to them, come, together we can continue constantly to build. That is the greatest miracle that ever occurred in Jewish history. And to me, it is a schus to be able to be part of a gathering such as this. Because a gathering such as the one we are having this evening is not merely to reminisce, it is not merely to remember, it is not merely to recall. When we gather together at this kind of an event, what we are doing is we are reliving and reinvigorating the narrative of our entire people. It says to us, it doesn't matter what the date is on the calendar. It doesn't matter what the season may be. It doesn't matter how we dress, how we behave, how we conduct ourselves in the here and now of this society that we happen to be part of. Societies change. Societies fluctuate. But the person, the human being, the inner landscape of Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that is forever. That is forever. And therefore, we are never strangers. We are very, very much at home with any community that we come to. That's the way Rabbi Yonan felt. When he came to this community, he was not a stranger in the midst of the people who had lived here till then. He was merely a person who came to embrace and to reclaim his brothers and sisters. And to have a gathering like we have this evening, dafke in this shul, a shul which, as I say, has dedicated itself to this same concept, is to continue the narrative. There is nothing new about it. There is only newness, freshness. There is only the enthusiastic commitment of people to those aspects of life that never become old. It is such a schus to be able to salute the memory of Rabbi Yonan Kamenetsky. I was thinking, since tonight I am marking a yahrzeit. And a yahrzeit we mark by learning just one or two words of Torah. And I look here in the Gemara that I brought with me, because it's a Gemara that we happen to be studying now with a group of friends, of Talmidim, of Chaverim, in my house once a week. And that is Masechta Brachos. And there's a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says that when Rav passed away, when he was Nifter, so Rav Ada Bahava, one of the Talmidim of Rav, had a shaila, and he wasn't sure exactly what he should do. A shaila in halacha, simple shaila in halacha, and he gathered together his friends and he said to them, watch what I'm going to do. Ahad kare lachure. He had torn kriya just a few days before at the levaya of his Rebbe. He took his garment and turned it like inside out so he would have a fresh part of the garment to tear kriya again. And he tore kriya a second time. And the question is, why did he feel he had to tear kriya again? This community tore kriya very recently. They tore kriya for a manhik. They tore kriya for a person who had been the Rebbe. They tore kriya, and I say to you that we have to tear kriya maybe a second time, but only if we have not learned the lesson of kriya. And that is, he said, Noch nafshei d'Rav. Rav passed away. Rabbi Binyamin Kamenetsky has left this world. He's not here anymore. Question is, what left us? Because in life, there is always going to be, as the Gemara explains, it's going to be like a parchment with words that are written in ink on that parchment. But the question is that parchment going to be there in the future as well? And the question is whether the writing on the parchment is still going to be clear. Noch nafshei d'Rav. Rav passed away. And we have to tear kriya a second time if we have not learned the lesson from the first kriya. The first kriya says to us simply, the gevil, the parchment, that is transitory. All parchments are transitory. But even though the parchment is transitory, but the words that are written on that parchment, those words remain forever. And if those words remain, then we don't have to tear kriya a second time. But if we lose sight and understanding and insight of what that was written on the parchment in the first place, then we have to tear kriya a second time. When we gather together, as we do this evening, it's because we don't want to tear kriya a second time. We want to be able to say that we have already torn kriya once. And the kriya that we have torn is for the gevil, it is for the body, for the parchment. And that is enough. One kriya is enough. But if we forget the teachings that were written in letters of fire and in letters of commitment, and letters of total devotion by the person during his lifetime, then we'll have to tear kriya again. We don't want to. We do not want to continue to tear that kriya. And therefore, what we say, Noch nafshei d'Rav, the Rebbe is no longer with you. True, and we say to the family, your father is no longer with you. And we say to the family, your Zayde is no longer with you. But that doesn't mean that the Oshiyos, that the letters and the teachings, and that lesson which was given to you during his lifetime, that never, never disappears. There's no greater nechama than the Hemshech HaDoros, the continuity of generations. The continuity that in my mind's eye I see between a Rabbi Yaakov and a Rabbi Yamin, and between my father and myself, because that is the secret of our eternity. And so it's that sense that we say, the Heinish Musar Tzor B'Tzor Achai.
I want to thank all the Rabbanim who came to pay tribute to Rav Kamenetsky. You all grace our shul, and you give kavod to his memory. I actually spoke at Levaya, but I knew at the Levaya was going to be a long program, so I abbreviated my speech. And so I want to continue my speech tonight, but I'm going to abbreviate it again. At the Levaya, I spoke about the name Binyamin. I want to first acknowledge that Rabbi Binyamin Kamenetsky and Rebbetzin Cyril, Zichronam Levracha, played an incredible role. They were literally the foundation of our community, of this part of Far Rockaway Peninsula that juts off of Far Rockaway, the Five Towns. And I want to acknowledge all of their children who all grew up here. Some stayed, some left, but all left an imprint in our community. Suri, Esther, Shani, Rav Mordechai and Rav Tzvi. There, to continue Rabbi Pelkowitz's narrative, they're the next generation after Rav Yaakov and Rav Binyamin. The beat goes on, and the message continues to go out according to the need of the new generation. The Medrash says about Binyamin, Medrash Lekach Tov, Lo hechziro Yehuda el Aviv Yaakov. Yehuda did not, after the incident in Egypt, when Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, and he sends the brothers back home to bring Yaakov. Yehuda did not bring Binyamin back home. Ela nishar im Yosef in Mitzrayim. He stayed with Yosef in Mitzrayim. And one could say, in a sense, that when Rabbi Binyamin left his father Yaakov, he also didn't go back home to where Rabbi Yaakov lived, whether it was Toronto or Borough Park or Flatbush, wherever it was in Brooklyn. He stayed in Mitzrayim. He stayed out here in a land that was really desolate of significant Jewish life. Binyamin stayed with Yosef in Mitzrayim because there was work to do in Mitzrayim to prepare for the arrival of Klal Yisrael, of the Jewish people. And that's what Rabbi Binyamin Kamenetsky did in our community. This Shabbos, I had the occasion to make mention, I'll say it briefly because I wanted to say it at the funeral. We take note of the sacrifices, the Karbanos HaNasiim, that we just read about in Parashas Naso. All the Nasiim brought the same sacrifices, the presidents of the tribes, and they all brought a Se'irizim Echad L'chatos. They brought a sin offering as part of the gift that they brought for the dedication of the Mishkan. Why did they bring a sin offering, says the Midrash? Because they had to atone for the sale of Yosef, for Mechiras Yosef. So the question is, but Menashe and Ephraim are the children of Yosef. Why did they have to bring a sacrifice? So one could well make the argument that in this case, Yosef was not totally devoid of responsibility for what happened. He baited his brothers, he teased his brothers, he got under their skin, and in a sense, he was somewhat responsible for having his brothers rise up against him. But the bigger question, and therefore, even Yosef, Menashe and Ephraim have to atone for the sin of Mechiras Yosef, because he too bore some responsibility. But Binyamin, Shevet Binyamin, why did they have to bring a sacrifice? Binyamin wasn't there when Yosef was sold. Binyamin was back home with Yaakov. So why did Shevet Binyamin have to bring a sacrifice? And the answer is, because the one who really had to bring a sacrifice almost as much as one other person, Shimon, was Levi. And Levi, because of his exalted position at this particular time in amongst the Jewish people, was not going to bring a sacrifice. But a sacrifice had to be brought for Levi. So who did it? It was Binyamin. Even though Binyamin was totally innocent, Binyamin brought the sacrifice. Because Binyamin understood that there's a responsibility to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, had to atone for Mechiras Yosef. And so even though Binyamin wasn't responsible at all, someone had to take the place of Levi, and Binyamin took that responsibility. And I think that is the story of Rabbi Binyamin Kamenetsky's life. He was always taking responsibility for the Jewish people in the area that he came to, and for the Jewish people who moved into the area that he came to, and for the children of the Jewish people who moved into the area that he came to. He always took responsibility. And to take responsibility and to be able to think of the other and to think of the needs of the greater community of Klal Yisrael and to understand that there is no one bigger than Klal Yisrael and the Jewish people. We're all part of Klal Yisrael, but we all have responsibility to the Jewish people. That was Binyamin Kamenetsky. The Medrash Shochet Tov says, Lo Rogal Alashono, he didn't speak ill of others, Ze Binyamin Bin Yaakov. Shahi Yodea B'mechirasa V'lo Gila Loviv. Binyamin knew what happened to Yosef, but he didn't rat his brothers out. He didn't tell Yaakov. Rabbi Binyamin Kamenetsky carried many, many secrets with him. Many people confided in him. He knew the most sensitive things about people's lives. He never told other people about other people. The only time he ever spoke about someone was to help somebody else, to try to find assistance for somebody else, to try to give support, to try to lend a hand, as Rabbi Pelkowitz said, yad b'yad, to give a hand to another person. But never did he go around as a gossiper. Never did he go around carrying tales. And I'm sure he had a lot of good tales to tell. They were all true. But he didn't share them with anybody else because they were told confidentially to him and he could keep a secret. The Medrash Rabbah says, Vayisom Maaseis, you know, Binyamin got a lot of gifts. Yosef treated him very well, his brother Binyamin. Yosef gave him Manasseh, his share. Usnas, Yosef's wife, gave him a share. Menashe gave Binyamin a share. Ephraim gave Binyamin a share. And you know what Binyamin did with everything that he got? Chilkam im Echav. He didn't keep them for himself. He shared them with his brothers. So we speak about Rabbi Binyamin Kamenetsky's great prowess at fundraising. The only one he wasn't good at raising funds for was for himself, because he was absolutely selfless. And what he had, if there was someone out there that was needy, he just gave it away to help another Jew. That's exactly, he was like Binyamin of old, sharing it with his brothers, because his brothers, in a certain sense, were the most important thing to him in his life, even more important than himself. You know, he was short in his height. And when I think of him often, I think of it, what was said to the first king of Israel, who was tall of stature. He was also from Shevet Binyamin, Shaul. And Shaul was tried to be nechba el hakelim. He tried to hide. And so Shmuel says to him, Im katan ata beinecha, rosh shivtei Yisrael ata. You think you're so small, but you are rosh shivtei Yisrael. Rabbi Binyamin Kamenetsky was short of stature, but he was truly rosh shivtei Yisrael. He carried the weight and he carried the burden of the Jewish people. And in this neighborhood, even though he never thought of himself to be a king, he was the king. He was the first king. He was the king from Shevet Binyamin. He was the king of this neighborhood. Not because he had any gaiva. He didn't have an ounce of haughtiness about him. He was a totally humble man. So he could speak to anybody and you would feel that you were speaking to your equal. Whether he was speaking to a Talmud Chacham or whether he was speaking to a Jew who never learned anything in his or her life, he always spoke to them as an equal. But he was, in this neighborhood, he was the king of Israel. He was the first king of this neighborhood. And he brought malchus, royalty and pride of the Jewish people to this neighborhood. And finally, I'll say this. The Medrash Rabbah says, Binyamin garam l'shvatim l'kroa bigdehim. Binyamin caused the tribes to tear their garments. And what does that mean? Because when they discovered that the cup had been stolen, and they were going back to the evil Tzafnas Paneach, and who knows what was in store for them, they tore their garments. V'hecha nifralo b'shushan habira, shenemar v'yifra Mordechai es begadav. Mordechai of Shevet Binyamin had to tear his garments. And Mordechai, Reb Mordechai of the Kamenetsky family, along with all of his other siblings, had to tear their garments a month ago when Reb Binyamin Kamenetsky caused them to tear his garments by virtue of the fact that he left this world. But what we could say is that they tore their garments as a sign of avelus. But I think with Reb Binyamin Kamenetsky, we could also say that what came out of the events of Mordechai tearing his garments was the holiday of Purim. Benafachu, Asher Yishlatu Hema Hayehudim Hema Bisonehem. Because of him, because of all that he was and that he represented, we could mourn him, but we could also celebrate his life. We could celebrate his life and celebrate all that he has done for each and every one of us who lives in this community. And celebrate the yeshivos, and celebrate the shuls, and celebrate the richness of Jewish life, celebrate the camaraderie of community, celebrate everything that we have, because Rabbi Binyamin Kamenetsky once walked on the earth in this community, and it was Binyamin who stayed here with us. He left Yaakov, he left his family, he stayed with the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, and he brought the Jewish people in Mitzrayim to a level where they created a kind of Eretz Goshen, filled with yeshivas, filled with shuls, filled with opportunity, and filled with the chance for Jewish children to go to the next generation and continue the traditions that Rabbi Binyamin Kamenetsky began. Tehei Zichro Baruch.